listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are in our final week of
Revenge Month,
which is Guido's pick. But Guido, before we get to your pick, Variety Magazine just released a list of the top 100 greatest horror movies of all time. Now, this list is very divisive. I've read a lot of bullshit, people being very angry about it. We are not going to go through the whole list, but I thought I'd read off the top 20 to y'all.
What you got?
All right. Are we ready?
Are we going to guess?
No. I'm just going to read it off. Starting with number 20, Get Out.
Okay.
Jordan I have not Peele. Seen that yet.
Oh, it's so good. I do have a poster of it in our house. I do love Get Out. I did drag Matt to see it in theaters.
It still holds the record for most
cringes. Oh yeah, my God.
That's the longest I watched a movie through my fingers. Not because of how scary it was,
it's but because of the whites.
Because of
how embarrassing it is to be white. 19, The Mummy from 1932.
The one that didn't have Brendan Fraser?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
That's why it's scary. 18 is The Shining. 17 is a movie. It's a French movie from 1955. It's called Diabolique. It's basically a wife and his and the husband's mistress. They gather together and they plot to kill him. Quite good, actually.
How very fun.
They remade it years ago. But 16 is the original Halloween from 1978.
Adventures in Night Knifing.
15 is Don't Look Now from 1973. It's a great movie with Donald Sutherland. Most people know like the imagery of like the little girl in the red coat running through the streets of Venice.
And it's a fucking little person.
Yes.
Whoa.
It's also a film urban legend. There's a sex scene in the movie with Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie, and the urban legend is that they are actually fucking in that scene. Like what we're watching is them actually having sex.
Whoa.
Yes. Could you imagine Donald Sutherland having sex?
Whoa. Yes, whoa. I can.
What are we doing here?
14
what?
Is, I don't know why that's Donald Sutherland's voice.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Time.
Okay. So 14 is the 1922 version of Nosferatu, which is great. Matt and I actually got to see it.
It's Dracula.
Yeah,
Dracula. Tammy is Dracula.
Matt what is the list? Who created this list? Because these are all really old movies.
Not all of them.
Oh, okay.
It's AARP.
20.
Oh, right.
Number 20 was Get Out, which came out in 2017. Matt and I actually got to see Nosferatu at the Colonial and with the organ accompaniment to
yeah,
it, which was because it's a silent movie. So,
oh, that's cool.
Except for, you know, music.
How long is it?
It's like an hour.
For real?
It might be even, it may be even like 48 minutes or something like that. Because it's a silent movie. It's a black and white. It's one of the 1922.
So. Yeah, because, you know, it'll do the thing where like you the character points. It's like, and then it'll cut.
Yeah.
And the next is the writing.
The writing, yeah.
There's Nosferatu.
Oh, under the stage of the Colonial is an organ that they can bring up. They'll do it like for Jaws and they'll play like the Jaws music and stuff like that. It's fun. Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. 13, where our podcast came from, The Silence of the Lambs.
Nice. Should be higher.
I think so too. 12 is the original King Kong from 1933.
Shouldn't be on the list.
That's not scary.
So I think when they're thinking of this list, and I'm not condoning these choices in any way, shape, or form, but I think they're thinking of these movies when these movies came out were probably terrifying. So you have to think of like movies in the time.
Or like iconic.
Iconic. Yeah, absolutely. And like the what it took to make them also is like kind of crazy.
Godzilla is scarier than King
Kong. You have
Kong.
To remember like when the first movie came out with like that train, people like ran away from the screen because they thought the train was going to come through the screen. Like that's like movies back then were like terrifying to people because they'd never seen stuff like that before.
And now
War of the Worlds killed a guy.
Yes.
And now people think that, you know, we have the power to control weather.
Yes.
We do, dude. Look at the research.
We've come a long way.
Number 11, which I think should be in the top three, is Alien, the original Alien from 1979.
That's good.
That should be the scary movie you guys sink Vincent in on.
Yeah. Number 10 is Carrie, which we did on the podcast. 1979,
Volleyball,
Carrie.
Bush, and Bullies.
Yep. Number 9, this is the one that's getting a lot of like, because I don't personally consider it horror, but it is disgusting, is Sallow or the 120 Days of Sodom,
okay,
which is
so
vile.
That
it's
I've seen this.
Absolutely disgusting.
And it's just
banned in
up.
Some countries.
Yep.
I mean, this is like, this would be like the equivalent of putting like, what's that? A Chechenian film or
a
whatever.
Serbian film.
Thank you. It's disgusting. It's not horror. It's gross.
It's just to see how far they can push the envelope.
Yeah. It's,
and it's from the 70s, which is even crazier.
So it's basically, you know, in modern equivalents, it's Terrifier.
But it's not really gore porn. It's like sex pedophilia porn.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Ew.
It's really disgusting.
Whereas Serbian
like
film
said,
has a lot of shit eating.
It's banned in some countries because it's a little too real. It's gross. And there's like scatological stuff and like
Pee
play
poopy.
And poop play and like all that. It's gross.
Scatological
it's just really gross.
Is anything poopy.
Tammy, you want to watch it with me?
No. You'll get put on a list, I'll tell you. Number 8 is 1931's Frankenstein.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 19... 19- 31. Yeah, I'm sorry. Number 7 is Audition.
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 Is that the one with like the black couch?
No.
And,
no.
And the girl has the, to.
No, that's just the documentary footage they used in the trial against Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, gotcha.
Audition is great.
We should watch really, it. You'll really have.
I have it on DVD.
You'll have to read it.
I have it on DVD.
Japanese.
It's horrifying, but very good. Number 6 is Night of the Living Dead, the original, 1960.
That comes for you, Barbara.
I used to have that on VHS.
I love it. Does anyone want to give a guess as to what number 1 is before
Texas
we get
Chainsaw
there?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, I feel like that was on the last list that we talked about. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
It's got to be the thing. Why is it not?
Not even in the top 20, apparently.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Number 5
the
is
Exorcist.
Number 5 is Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby.
Which is my second favorite movie of all time. Number 4 is... Oh, my first favorite movie of all time, Jaws.
Oh,
did I make this list?
Gee, I wonder why she wanted to share this.
Oh, I wanted to have a conversation. Sorry.
Self-serving.
Number 3 is Psycho.
Yeah,
from 1960, not the one with Anne Heche. Number 2 is The Exorcist from 1973. And number 1 is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I win!
It's a bullshit list. I see why people are mad.
The fact that the thing isn't in the top 20 is a little odd to me. I didn't look at the rest of the list, but I heard, like, I've been reading tweets about how, like, they put Hostel 2 lower than like the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Like,
yeah,
just ridiculous, and like rankings. And
how is
crazy.
The Antichrist with Willem Dafoe not on that list as
because
well?
Because that's just gross.
No.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. By his logic, if they have 100 Days of Sodom in this list, they should have Antichrist or all those fucking Lars von
Absolutely.
Trier fuckpad movies.
Yeah. So where did the Pope's Exorcist rank?
Oh. I don't know, but you know what's
Please
horrifying in that movie?
Me,
his little sausage fingers. Sausage fingers.
I like his little Vespa and his red socks.
His Vespa he drives from Rome all the way to Spain.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a graphic novel or
it's
something.
It's great.
Why
I mean,
can't
for me,
you
no,
just accept
I just feel
it?
Like,
oh, Suspiria's number 99.
Nice. But I mean, I'm just sorry. I just feel like
Should
you
be
know,
higher.
Just these lists for some people, it's just
are bullshit.
It's just bullshit, and it's just a form of punishment for
it's
some
like
people.
Saying, what kind of bread are you?
Well,
people
it's
need
a
to,
conversation.
It's like people need to be punished for the where they rank these movies.
It's a conversation.
And if only there was someone out there that could punish these people.
Oh,
I Guido. Think I think I could find someone that could dole out some punishment.
Could you? Well, tell us your pick for Revenge Month.
So, I don't know if you know this yet, but I chose The Punisher.
Okay.
Which one?
It's the... God damn it. It's the 2004 Punisher. Punisher 2004. Okay.
Well,
Punisher
2004. We did the same thing with Batman. It's only fair.
I know.
Oh my God.
But this one's got one of the best bad guys.
You're supposed to be dead.
Get up. Wheel the money out. Out the window.
You know whose money this is? You know whose building this is?
Howard Saints.
You're not gonna believe this.
We're really sorry about your family.
What do you think he does?
Maybe he's an artist.
Get everyone in. We're going hunting.
This is not vengeance. No, not vengeance.
It's punishment.
Let's go around the table and I'm going to ask you.
Why?
Have you seen the movie?
Because that's what we do on every episode, Tammy, but yeah.
Yeah, it's what I have to. Tammy, have you seen, what did you think when I chose this movie?
I had seen it.
You did though?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember she worked at a movie theater when the movie came out.
I was there when that came out.
No shit. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, I worked there for 04, 05, 06.
Okay. Well, this came out in 2004, you said, right?
This is a 2004 movie.
Yeah.
You know, from some of the production values, like, he had half the budget he wanted, okay, the director, and I thought that, like...
Who is the director?
Oh, it was Jonathan Hensley.
I had never seen this movie. I've never seen any Punisher, not even the John Barenthal show, which everyone says is great, and I do like John Barenthal.
He's good.
But I had never seen it, so yeah, I was excited to watch it.
Cool. Matt?
I had seen it before. I saw it basically back in 2004. I honestly haven't seen it since then. Surely this movie has aged well.
Like a fine wine.
Even I will admit, like, it had half the budget it was supposed to. And some scenes really show its age.
Yes, for for our younger audience, this is a Marvel movie, but this Marvel movie predated Iron Man, so it predated the MCU, so there wasn't any lavish budget for special effects or action.
I don't really think the special effects
it's one of the
bad.
Few, actually, nay, maybe the only Marvel movie with tits in it. Okay, so The Punisher came out in 2004, and it was directed by Jonathan Hensley, who you may know from directing Armageddon and Jumanji.
He directed Armageddon?
Yes.
That wasn't Michael Bay or Jerry Bruckheimer? It's fine. Just keep going.
You want to snopes me simultaneously?
I just want to...
Because I was on the IMDb's.
It's fine. Keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, so it stars Thomas Jane and John Travolta and the great
Rebecca Romijn.
Is it Romijn?
Rebecca Romijn.
That's how we're pronouncing it?
She's married to Jerry O'Connell now.
No, Jonathan Heim.
He wrote
Okay, thank you.
That's fine.
So I'm still kind of right.
At the time, she was Stamos.
Yeah,
yes,
at this
she
point,
was Stamos at that
so
point.
So we'll call her Stamos.
Now she's married to Jerry O'Connell.
Anyway, so The Punisher, it cost $33 million. It made $55 million, so that's a profit. It has a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. That means 71% of the people liked it.
My movie had a 29% too.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. So that's a lot of people liked it.
Mm-hmm. Wait. So is that's the critic score, and you're saying 71% of the audience liked it?
Yeah. So it's not rotten, is what I'm saying.
Oh no,
so,
it's definitely rotten.
So
it's a green splat tomato.
It's fresh. All right, Thomas Jane is Frank Castle. John Travolta is Howard Saint. Rebecca Romijn Stamos. You'll remember her from 2002 film Rollerball.
Sure.
Roy Schneider from
Great
Jaws
remake.
Is in this.
Chief
as Frank's
Brody.
Dad.
Chief Brody.
Oh, and Kevin fucking Nash took a break from the NWA, or NWO to be in this movie.
Kevin
He's not
Nash
in the
NWA. Was in
NWA?
Oh, that's incredible.
That'd be so cool.
him towering over Eazy-E and Ice
God.
Straight out of Compton.
He's got the most attitude. I would just like to say, I have not seen this movie in years. But, you know, when we were deciding revenge movies, it was a no-brainer for
Yeah.
Of course. So.
Sure.
It starts with Frank being the best undercover FBI agent, disrupting some gun smuggling. During the bust, Frank gets fake shot and fake dies in weird European sandals, but Howard Saint's son, Bobby, gets shot for real and really dies.
This is my first note. Thomas Jane in sandals is gross.
Thomas Jane with blonde...
Blonde, yeah. Weird Russian accent.
I'm not...
Linen suit and sandals is gross.
You brought your friends.
Yeah.
And he didn't even sound
you
Russian.
You sound French.
He
right
sounded
now.
French. You brought your friends. And he brought his friends the cops.
Yeah, how anybody wasn't tipped off to Frank being undercover when he started to smoke Virginia Slims is beyond me.
Oh my, I didn't notice that.
Frank has the respect of his peers. He gets to retire a hero. First stop is a family reunion in Puerto Rico. Meanwhile, back at Bad Guy HQ in the Scarface house, the last remaining son, John Saint, son number two, tells mummy and daddy that son number one is very dead from being a criminal piece of shit. Howard Saint's main goon is Quentin Glass, played by Will Patton, who you'll remember from Gone in 60 Seconds.
And
Armageddon.
Chick Chaplin at the craps tables.
Howard swings by the police station, picks up Mickey to tell him why Bobby died in the FBI bust. So they take turns kicking him on the floor at the bad guy corporate office building that also looks like a Raymore and Flanagan.
You mean the club Saints and...
We haven't converted it into a club yet.
Oh, okay. I'm
so
sorry.
So Mickey spills the beans while John Travolta does his best bad guy.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, I'm so bad.
It's no consolation.
I'm not going to lie.
Such a bad dude.
He's really not that bad in this. I would argue the best part of this movie.
Honestly, just channeling, he's continuing his character from Swordfish, but he has a steady job and a family now instead of being an active terrorist.
He's also not as, I don't feel like he's as angry as Swordfish.
He's not as over the top in this movie, which is crazy because,
oh my God,
that is where he thrives.
Oh yeah. So Frank starts his retirement by telling his kid he's sorry for not being around, and he heads to Puerto Rico with his family.
You guys have been to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Is this like the abandoned side of Puerto Rico? Because I feel like no one else lives on this.
It's just remote. I mean. Yeah.
Okay.
It's where just are we? A little cove.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know? It just seems like no one else lives there.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Except for the weird voodoo guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Roy Scheider used all of his money from Jaws and all that, and he bought this private little cove there.
At this time, Howard heads to the morgue to see a dead body and say, yep, that's my boy. And then he starts to do research to find Frank Castle. The family reunion looks like a great time. Right,
awesome.
Tammy? Does it look like fun?
Oh,
I also love the name Frank Castle. I think it's a great...
That is a great comic book
comic book name. It really is good. Because I feel like in the comic books, you get a lot of the same, like...
Yeah, they always go consonants. Yeah, it's alliteration, like Peter Parker.
Bruce Banner.
Clark Kent.
Bruce Banner. Yeah.
Reed Richards.
Frank Castle. Sounds like a... I don't know. It's nice. I like it.
It commands respect.
It's Sue tough. Storm.
It's a hunky name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Frank Castle is...
It sounds like a cool guy name.
Like an old school, like Humphrey Bogart character.
Yeah. Yes.
This guy smokes cigars.
Frank Castle, say? Very short ones. Something like that. I like it.
Oh, yeah. So friends and family and champagne and good food. Fucking on the beach. We've got fucking sand in the sniz.
More sand up the couch.
Exactly. God. Exactly.
I also hate his fucking wife in this movie, too.
Why?
You mean Samantha Mathis?
They love each other. That's why.
You mean Amy from Little
Women? Why would you hate her? She's like the most supportive... Oh, you're back, and now you're going to be with us.
She's wonderful. She's very supportive because she's kind of a shit husband.
The character
is... She knew what she was signing up for.
She didn't say that.
The characters are very supportive, but the performance is what I have an issue with.
Oh,
I'm ready, or I know what I signed up for.
Yeah, I will say that scene when he comes in and he sees the kid and he's like, we should have another. Well, I'm ready. You guys gonna fuck now in front of the kid?
And you know, the kid is just like hanging out in the doghouse.
The kid's a little weird.
Before they go to Puerto Rico, he's like, that's what you said last time. Honestly, the worst kid actor I think we've done. Or we've had.
You hate kid actors.
I do.
You hate little boys.
Probably good.
Yeah, I hate little boys.
He's no Catholic.
Every little boy that we have talked about is annoying.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sorry. The only really good kid actors we... Well, no, I didn't hate Damien. Did not hate Damien.
It's all for you, Damien.
Damien. The kid, like, barely talks, though.
How can
exactly.
you... He doesn't
seen,
do anything.
He's
silent. Okay. He hated the guy the kids in Tremors.
Yes, I did. Well, those kids sucked.
Oh, and don't forget Captain Ron.
Oh, those fucking kids definitely sucked.
And now this kid.
No, wait, I like Macaulay.
Now you know why we don't have kids.
I like Macaulay Culkin and Uncle Buck. I like the sister and Uncle Buck.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, you know what happens to this kid?
You hate the sister and Uncle
Buck.
Yeah,
so, I mean...
The older sister. She's an adult.
You hate the kid and Uncle Buck, too.
They're really driving home that the mood's about to change. Meanwhile, at the funeral for Bobby, Quentin shows Howard that the information on Frank Castle and his current location. At the funeral, Howard's wife, Livia, played by Laura Herring, who is in Mulholland Drive, which is a good David Lynch movie with boobs in it.
There are boobs in Blue Velvet. You remember it. Isabella Rossellini.
I'm telling you right now that that is a movie with boobs by David Lynch that was not good.
Well, if you want to do Mulholland Drive for my month, she was in an SVU episode.
Hey, I think we will. Well, Livia is in the limo and says she wants Frank's whole family murdered at the reunion. So the next day, there's more great family time in Puerto Rico. Drinks, laughter, sunshine. Frank is finally able to relax. And that's when the goons show up. A whole
Mom!
Pack. Yep.
Mom!
Mom!
Well, a whole pack. Jarring.
Goons are using Tech Nines, Uzis, Steyr SPP, submachine guns, and some shotguns.
They also showed up on cigarette boats.
Frank's dad shows him his new heavily customized twin Colt 1911s. I've modded my own personal 1911 to look like these, to be honest. Castle Sr. and Jr. hear gunshots and screaming in the distance. Frank's wife and kid are down a ways from the commotion on the beach.
Look at this dead fish.
It's a horseshoe crab.
Oh, yeah. It is a horseshoe crab.
That's so cool.
So many friends and family murdered in front of each other. The Franks lock and load some double barrel shotguns and fight back.
Zach and Nora are there?
Yep.
Franks.
all while their family is systematically gunned down in paradise. The wife and son run for the Bronco to get away, but there's a stupid boat attached to it, and Senior dies saving Junior.
It was very upsetting.
He could have used a bigger boat.
Uh-oh.
The goons chase the mom and son. Frank kills some more goons, but maims one to kill him later in the movie. I know she's scared, but she drives like shit, eventually flipping the vehicle over, and they have to crawl out.
They shoot the car. They shoot the tires out.
If she drives...
But she is violently jerking the wheel. I will say that.
Yeah, she sounds just like that beating clown. Mommy and son make for the pier, but the bad guys just run them over with their truck. It's terrible. It's awful. You hear them go clunk clunk, and
I actually went yes.
Yes, they love dead children.
He does love dead children.
Yes.
Frank shows up too late, is immediately gunned down by the baddies. John Saint, the remaining son, kicks him a bit and then places a poorly aimed shot into Frank's sternum. Quentin pours gasoline all over the pier, lights it. When it exploded, an injured Frank is gently pushed back into the ocean.
Gently?
Like some type of Marvel superhero, Frank survives and is found by his island friend.
How did he survive? Is one of my notes.
Dude, ghost dog found him.
I
asked him after I watched it. I was like, okay, so is he like supernatural at this
absolutely
point?
Not.
No, because I was like, did that witch doctor perform some sort of thing on him and now he's supernatural?
His superpower is he can't die?
He went ting tang, walla walla bing bang.
His superpower is sheer fucking will, which is the same superpower as John Wick.
It's just that he got shot a lot and blown off the pier.
Yeah, he's durable. Did you see his body?
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
He trained with Navy SEALs for 7 months and put on 20 pounds of muscle for this role.
Well, good for him.
So back at Bad Guy Corporate Office, which is also a nightclub now.
Saints and Sinners? Which I don't want to be like and bring in the books that I read that we both read. But I'm pretty sure there's a Tessa Bailey book where they go to a club called Saints and Sinners. I'm almost positive.
Does it also have smutty romance many whites dancing poorly?
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. How else do white people dance?
Exactly.
I dance wonderfully.
At the club, John Travolta does his best straight guy impression as he lazily draws upon his Sherlock pipe that's not even fucking lit.
As he watches another man dance with his...
He watches Quentin dance with his wife, and he internally pleads with his murder boner to work its way back into his elasticized waistband.
So the club that John Travolta owns mildly reminded me of the club from The Mask.
The Coco Bongo?
Yeah, the Coco Bongo Club.
That had actually a personality.
This was just a
stock building that they just were like...
It looked like a weird sex club.
Oh, yeah.
Mixed with like a Mercedes-Benz dealership.
Later, Livia, looking all good, finds Howard on the balcony, and he gives her some diamond earrings the size of walnuts, and this causes her clothes to literally evaporate.
I don't know if they sponsored this movie, but he gave her the box. It says HW.
Harry Winston.
But she had to say, Harry Winston. It's like...
Those are $1 million.
They were huge. They were gorgeous.
They make passionate love on the marble floor. And he made sure that it was on CCTV camera to illustrate to his security staff that he does indeed do the sex to women.
Oh my God.
Do you feel me inside you? Oh, come on. Ow. That's my old face.
I'm doing this for you, Lord Zeno.
Oh my God.
Tom Cruise ain't got nothing on me.
Weeks pass. Frank is all healed. He retrieves his guns from the beach house that are definitely still there.
He also has that shirt.
Oh, yeah. Island Man looks like a relative of Forrest Whitaker's. He says, go with God. And like a badass, Frank says,
God's going to sit this one out.
So cool.
I'd also like to ask, in Puerto Rico, do they not have hospitals or actual crutches?
You don't want to get hurt there.
They have to use tree branches made into crutches.
He's trying to stay off the grid.
Yeah. If you're getting healed by a fucking shaman, yeah. You get a branch.
Well, that's why I thought he was like superhuman now, because they made it seem like this guy was like a witch doctor.
Babe,
no, they didn't. He's just a brown man that lives on an island.
Well, Roy Scheider said it in the beginning. He was like, some people think that he knows like voodoo.
He's just talking.
Well, no, that's just
shit.
He's just a boomer being racist.
Okay. Yeah, he's just being a racist.
I'm sorry.
But like,
so at this point, it is now time to move into the building of misfits and societal castaways. There's a waitress with poor taste in men, a fat man who cooks, and a nerd with face metal.
Pause for
so much face metal.
Let the record.
Did I not encapsulate that? Or like,
let the record state that we did not converse about this movie at all, except for, hey, can I borrow your copy? Did I not say when we were driving somewhere, oh yeah, they're staying at that house, the Island Misfit Toys. So fucking stupid.
I will recognize that I texted the group chat and said, I don't mean to be mean, but did he move into a special needs house?
Yes.
Also, does anyone else live in this apartment building? And why are they all friends?
It's got eating disorders. It's got borderline personality disorder. It's got battered women. Like, what more do you want in one building?
I wrote, is this a halfway house? Rebecca Romijn can't keep her vagina in her pants. Like, I mean...
It's not detachable. It's not like she washes it in the sink.
Does no one live on the first floor?
No! They
Have
don't!
Have you seen that building?
I mean, I understand if nobody lives at the very end where Frank is, because, you know, with the secret elevator.
It looked like a blown-out, like, old factory. Like, I didn't know... What is this? Oh, yeah. Yeah, working on a car?
But look, such a weird place.
Shitty buildings with cheap rent attract the best.
Why is he staying in this place?
Squatters. I feel like they're squatters.
Look, Tampa is a weird place. Free. Not only
that this takes place in Florida, and I found that out about halfway Detroit. Through the movie, like
it's
floored
not Detroit.
Me. I was like, wait, this is Florida?
It's yes. Tampa.
There are shitty places
it says
in Florida
Tampa
too.
Tampa over and over again.
I literally must have blocked.
I would tell
it
you
out.
It
I
all looks it, like that right now.
I thought it was like a fictional city. I really did, like Gotham.
The story that this is based off, because I read the comic that this is
Same.
Based off of.
Same.
Okay.
And it takes place in New York. And what's really interesting is they're using this as an origin story when this comic is literally
Welcome Back, Frank.
Where he comes back.
Yeah.
At one point, the Punisher, because, you know, the Punisher as a comic book character is a very problematic character now for
law enforcement,
for Marvel, because of certain assholes like to use the law enforcement, they like to do the thin blue line thing and they put it in the Punisher skull, and that means they never read the fucking comic book, because yep. Frank Castle is like, no, you're fucking cops, you're supposed to uphold the law.
Yeah,
I'm a psychopath that basically kills people that don't follow my law.
If they did their job, I wouldn't exist.
Yeah,
he's kind of like the anti-Batman.
Yes, he is Batman who kills.
He is a pure anti-hero.
This comic that this is based on is when, like, you know, people were going after the Punisher in the 90s. He's too violent. So at one point they kill him. He works for Heaven and kills demons instead.
Yeah, so they deserve to die.
So like that Constantine movie? With
kind
Keanu
of,
Reeves?
Yeah.
I can't wait for more.
But then somehow at the Marvel finally just says, fuck it, we need, sales are down, we need to bring him back to what he normally does. So he gets resurrected as a human and just comes back to fuck up an entire mafioso's family in New York City.
Does what
welcome
he does best.
Welcome Back, Frank. Written by Garth Ennis and inked by Steve Dillon.
You keep saying Welcome Back, Frank, and I'm keep thinking Welcome Back, Castle, and then I keep thinking about Welcome Back, Cotter, which also had John Travolta
up
in
your
it.
Nose with the rubber hose.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Up your nose.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, hose. Mr. Cotter.
We used to call that
in your ear with scuba gear.
The shitty Phillies manager that you liked because he looked cute.
Hot.
We used to, you know, making fun of him, we'd share Welcome Back Cotter stuff because Mr. Cotter was played by Gabe Kaplan instead of Gabe Kepler.
Well, all right.
Sorry for the No. Please. That was good. I'm sure Matt feels similarly. Like, The Punisher was very important to young me, still is important to me. It's one of my favorite heroes, or, you know, comic book characters, because he wasn't super in any way. He just had sheer will and mechanical know-how, and
That's why I always like Batman.
I have more Punisher comics than any other comic.
He was a regular guy. Well, aren't they bringing back the one with John Bernthal? Like, isn't that coming
back? Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, they're all coming back, because now...
On Netflix?
Well, no, the rights have reneged back to Disney, so now they're going to bring the Netflix actors and actresses.
Well, people seem to really like it.
Into the Disney.
Although, yeah, it was really good. Honestly, the Netflix MCU was just as good as Phase 1 to 3 of the movie.
I agree.
I like John
it was pretty tight. Back at the building.
Still believes in the law.
Frank deploys a montage. He booby traps his apartment. He loads his guns. Eats wild turkey. Outfits his GTO with armor.
Drinks wild turkey.
He says eats wild turkey.
Boofs wild turkey. Every other thing is just...
Car seems
He snorts
sweet.
Wild turkey.
He bumps it, yeah.
Car seems sweet, Greedo.
That was pretty
so cool.
Car.
throughout this movie, we are bombarded with white trash rock from the early 2000s. It sounds like greasy hair and MP3 players and Cookie Monster pajama pants and stale stolen cigarettes.
I thought it was Creed the entire time. I was like, is this Creed? Is this Creed?
No, it's Seether.
Yeah.
It's
Silverchair.
This is one of those movies that had a song where the song became bigger than the movie. If you recall that song, I'm Broken by Seether featuring Amy Lee from Evanescence.
Yes.
That is from the soundtrack to this movie.
And there was another Evanescence song.
Because this is... Yeah? This is, no, probably. The other Evanescence song was in Daredevil. The Bring Me to Life. That's Daredevil.
I thought I heard Amy singing again, or maybe it was the same song.
No, it's the same song. They play it every time you see Rebecca Romijn either trying to jump out of her vagina.
Her vagina
jumps out. How does that even look?
At that one scene where she's holding the knife because the bad boyfriend is there.
It's a whole vibe.
It's a vibe.
So it's not a bop.
It's not a bop.
Frank heads out to pick up Mickey for some tasty torture. Here we see Frank torches a steak until it sizzles while pressing a cold popsicle into the back of a pallet suspended Mickey.
This is funny.
I do like this. It's quite inventive.
It's very imaginative.
Because at first I was like, oh, this hurts. And I was like, is that a popsicle? Because I even got tricked by it a little bit. And it reminded me of that movie Hard Candy where she like pretends to cut his junk off and really she's not doing it.
Yeah, it was creative.
It was very creative.
Like this was when 17-year-old me was watching it for the first time. Oh, this movie's awesome.
Yeah, I will say I was like, wow, this scene's kind of cool, actually. I feel like he like touched that popsicle to that guy's like butthole and then he put it in his mouth, which is just as gross.
Yes. And
it's like smelling your fingers after you dug in your shit.
Pickle jar fingers.
Hey, when you take the lint out of your belly button, do you smell your fingers?
I don't get lint in my belly button like you do.
I don't believe you.
That's like people who say when they dig in their ear and they've never tasted earwax, they're like, I don't know what earwax tastes like. I'm like, you're all lying. Everyone has dug in their ear and then accidentally put their finger in their mouth.
I don't get lint in my belly button.
Well, you've dug into your belly button before, right?
Yeah, you've never pulled one single hair and it's accompanied by the dirt plug that's in there?
And cleaned it with like alcohol, but I don't get stuff in there.
We get it. You're a medical professional.
You don't get
fine. We get it. You take a shower every day, whatever.
You don't get anything in your first mouth.
What about
your front butt?
No, technically that was your first mouth.
That's so gross.
According to Guido, who says
it's a taco dispenser.
Your belly button is where you eat tacos fed from your mother's chewed
up. If mommy eats tacos, baby in utero, eats tacos too. It's uterus, not uter you.
This was after our second child that he realized this was.
Zoo books as a kid. I didn't have Playboys. Okay, moving on.
They stole his Playboys with his TV. Riots.
So Mickey is finished being tortured. He realizes that he's unharmed, so he divulges further about Howard Saint. Apparently, his business consists of two super successful Cuban pimps that send money to Howard, and then he sends it to his banks in the Grand Cayman Islands.
Yeah,
they wire it back clean.
He's a launderer. He's the money launderer.
So it's time to start the fire. Frank heads to his gravestone, rips it out with his GTO, and then drops it right onto the golf course for Howard to find. The death year is scratched out. What a statement.
Dad, you're not going to believe this. Oh my God, I think I can believe anything, you know?
Again, John Travolta is very subtle in this movie.
I thought we killed that guy. Bizarre. I thought that guy was dead. Oh my God, I wish my wife would give me a blowjob.
She can't. She's too busy going to the movies every fucking Thursday.
That's like one day a week.
Why can't she go to the movies on Thursdays? Why is this so suspicious?
I'm not saying it's suspicious. I'm just like, what weird. Movie? Are you seeing a new movie every single Thursday? What are you, my parents? Like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, maybe she lives a boring life.
Just retire, Allie. You'll see a lot more movies. Frank heads to one of Howard's banks and starts knocking out goons. He heads straight for the cash room, rounds up all of the money into one place. He cuts the window out and throws millions of dollars into the street. Two goons see this. They head upstairs to confront Frank, and we have a nice, good old-fashioned Wild West duel-type scenario.
So does does John Travolta's character only employ, like, hitmen who
are white?
Are retired?
Of a certain age?
Because they are all fucking old.
Well, it is Florida. So
I've never met a young veteran.
His son's friends.
He goes to like the retirement home and recruits people to be his goons because they are all old as fuck.
You know what they say? It's something along the lines of, beware the old man that is in a young man's profession where young men usually die.
No, I've never heard that. You've never heard that?
You've heard something along those lines, right, Matt?
No.
Fuck off, guys. Sons of bitches.
Maybe.
One of our listeners has heard something like this. What about
aim small, miss small?
You're my child.
Oh, she got Kyle here.
I'm sure John has heard that phrase.
What? Aim small, miss small?
No, his phrase.
Back at home.
I did that for you, Matt.
Back at home, Frank eats some more wild turkey. He has some nice PTSD flashbacks to his beautiful murdered family.
They
Howard.
Suck. You're better off.
Oh, yeah.
Make new memories.
That kid sucked anyway.
They're literally dead weight. Howard is upset with his criminal staff, and he catches some shit from the Cuban super pimps. Back home, some more whiskey tango rock, and one of Rebecca's old boyfriends is trying to force himself in her apartment.
I'm pretty sure it's the guy from Seether.
He definitely looks like it. The fat one and Spacker, the bedazzled geek played by Ben Foster.
Who is a phenomenal actor.
And is wasted in this
movie. In other movies.
Yeah. He protests to the hour and manner in which boyfriend is presenting himself. Boyfriend slaps Spacker a bit before Frank comes out and promptly throws his unconscious body into the street.
He smacks him in the nose with his own butterfly knife.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that knife is terrifying.
Later, Frank tails Livia and takes her car, which is a beautiful Jag XK8, and he takes it to get a ticket outside the Wyndham Hotel. He calls Quentin from her car phone with a voice changer.
Oh, yeah, because he also has that transportable fire hydrant.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
I
love that.
That's just to keep the space available when he takes the car back. The director knew someone that used to do that in New York for like 2 years.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's funny.
Absolutely sure. I don't know what movie it's in. Oh, it's in Coyote Ugly.
Yes.
In Coyote Ugly. The bartender, he puts like
a fake boot
on his car. So they already think it's booted. And then he takes it off when he needs to drive away.
I love that.
You got to trick the system, man.
You know what makes it come full circle? Because remember, he sells a comic book, Get Her Studio Time.
I know.
That's right.
And
it's Spider-Man
70-something, which is the first appearance of the Punisher.
That's right.
Oh,
it's a circle.
My God.
Life is like a circle.
We didn't even plan that.
We did not.
Up, down,
way
and
to go, you two.
That was the best thing I've ever heard in my life. And I've heard Guy Fieri.
So he calls Quentin and tells him that he has pictures of Quentin getting it on with another dude and to meet up with him at the Wyndham Hotel with $5,000.
Because remember, this is 2004.
Did Wyndham sponsor this movie?
This is 2004 and being gay is bad still then.
Well, yeah. If
not in Tampa.
When your boss is a
this is true.
Scared, closeted gay man, yes.
What are you talking about? I'm not gay.
Yeah, okay.
You see my wife? She's got big tits.
Isn't this
where I call him a beard.
Isn't Tampa where the headquarters of Scientology are?
No, it's Clearwater.
Oh, yeah. That's Clearwater. You guys
also
can
in Florida.
See it when you go down for Eric's bachelor party.
He stands up, Quentin.
I'll try not to piss on
him. He takes the car back at the Scarface house. Howard asks his towel-clad son where Quentin is, and this absolute stunner of a bay walks out to hug John. I'm talking like a 10 out of 10. Did you see this Sports Illustrated lady that come out the closet?
Who?
His, like, at home,
John
Howard
Travolta,
goes,
he knocks,
as, he knocks
door,
on his son's
and the
bedroom.
Son's standing there. He's just like,
he's like, where's Quentin? And his son's got a towel on. He's about to make himself a drink. He's like, I don't know, Dad. It's Thursday. And then,
and
like,
he's like,
his,
where's your mother? It's Thursday, Dad. The movies. And then this blonde bombshell walks in.
Oh, I don't remember.
She looks like a suntan lotion model.
He's like, let me get that lint out of your belly button.
Use your mouth.
Ew.
Use your teeth and pick it out one hair at a time.
Why is there so much lint in everyone's belly button?
You lint licker.
Not mine.
Mickey overhears and he tells Howard that he actually saw him at the Wyndham Hotel earlier. Sets the trap. The next day at dinner, Bobo Johnny Cash walks in, determined to ruin the mood. His name is Harry Heck and is a character.
Harry Heck.
He is a character from the comics, and you'll like this, okay?
His character
the comic,
is also ass.
The comic in which he was featured had him one of several other hitmen that were hired to kill Frank. And as the narrator discusses the different unique ways each of the hitmen operate, Frank is actively and effortlessly killing them. Harry Heck is shot in his car before he knew what even hit him. That's the character.
Again, old guy.
Yeah.
Harry Heck.
Yeah.
Might as well be Harry Hole from the Snowman movies. Like, all right,
so Harry Heiny Hole sings a little song and then leaves.
I hear what you're thinking.
I'm going to come into this diner, sing a random song, and then I'm going to leave.
A little later at a stoplight, in front of a drawbridge, Frank is rear-ended in his GTO by Harry Heck in his green Plymouth Roadrunner. Harry gets out, starts shooting at Frank with his street sweeper shotgun, but Frank deploys his car's armor and drives away. Unfortunately, there was a very poorly placed girl with soccer ball in the middle of the road, and he flips his GTO. Harry catches up, is about to shoot him with his 44 Magnum, but Frank shoots a ballistic knife blade into Harry's throat, killing him.
Very cool. I will say this about the movie.
Fucking cool.
Love
shit.
These death scenes. Very creative.
Everyone's dying.
Love a creative
way.
Death.
So, right in the jugular.
Oh, later, Frank blows up some cigarette boats full of pimp cash. John almost dies. The pimps give Howard a bunch of shit about the money, which enrages him further. Back at the building of Freaks and Geeks, Frank is invited to dinner at Dumbo's. It's a nice, awkward dinner.
We want to invite you to have dinner with us.
Yep. Frank doesn't want to feel feelings, so he goes home to grab a quick drink before dessert. As Dumbo prepares dessert to opera music, someone knocks on Frank's door. Surprise! It's Kevin motherfucking Nash, known only as the Russian in this movie. He beats the living shit out of Frank all over his own apartment.
I think it's funny how they call him the Russian, but he literally does not speak at all.
He looks like one of those fucking like Russian-ly. Deformed people from that Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, Nothing But Trouble movie.
Again, in the comic,
love that movie.
The Russian is an actual fleshed out character.
That guy was so big.
That does speak.
Is that how big that guy is?
Yes. He's a professional wrestler.
Huge.
He's throwing him through walls. He's smashing the barrels of his guns. He's laughing off stabbings. Finally, they crash into Dumbo's place, and Frank hits the Russian with a boiling pot of water.
Ooh. Yes, I love how he can shrug off stabbings and grenade explosions, but boiling pasta.
Yeah, well, his face looks like if you microwaved a human baby.
Oh my God!
Or a dog.
This allows Frank to compose himself and spear the Russian down the stairs, breaking the hitman's neck.
I noticed that the first time watching it, I was like, wow, he twisted his neck the whole way.
Better than his dick.
Twist his fucking dick off.
Oh my God.
Grab his dick and twist it.
Twist his dick.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So the Misfit crew take care of Frank. They sew up his cuts. But then Quentin and his goons show up to see how the Russian did. And they hide Frank. But Spacker stays behind to answer questions and throw them off. And Quentin pulls Spacker's face piercings out one by one with needle nose pliers.
This is awful. But can I ask a question? When they're sewing up Frank Castle, Rebecca, she pulls out all the stuff. Because apparently, like, again, they live in like a
she's
fucking...
really good with a needle.
Yes. Earlier, she said how she's happy to be sober. So does her experience with a knitting needle equate to her being able to shoot herself up with heroin?
Yes, because exactly.
That is literally the equivalent they're making.
And fun fact,
she's really good with a needle.
She stitches the heroin needle down her vein. Yeah.
Those are not the same kind of needle.
No, I know.
And that doesn't make any sense.
Fun fact, during one of the...
Yeah, the writing is terrible.
During one of the takes.
Okay.
She accidentally sews into his skin. She puts 2 to 3 sutures into Thomas Jane's real arm.
Oh. Ooh,
but because he's so methy.
He just sat there and took it. So, Spacker's horribly disfigured. He doesn't give up any info. Frank partially disassembles a paper shear to bury it into the skull of the last remaining goon.
I don't believe it that guy would not give up any information.
But they're family.
No.
Family.
Family.
Also, he is married to Laura Prepon from that 70s show. They have 2 children.
Whoa!
Oh, so that means are they out?
She's out.
Oh,
she's not a Scientologist
but
anymore.
But he's not?
He was never a Scientologist.
Good for you, pal.
She was.
Frank heads out to steal the earrings from Livia and calls Quentin to the Wyndham Hotel again. Back at Scarface house, Mickey shows Howard the parking ticket he found in Livia's jacket pocket. Howard's starting to piece things together. So he gets Quentin's house key and asks Mickey for the phone bill from last month. At Quentin's house, Howard finds one of Livia's new earrings in his bed. Howard waits for Quentin to come home so he can stab him to death. The whole time, Quentin says, "Why are you doing this?" He just killed his best friend. He heads back to Scarface's house.
I'm accusing you of cheating.
Oh, yeah. Howard confronts Livia about being a cheating whore. Howard drives her to a bridge, throws her off.
This is where we met, Little Havana. It's mostly just whores now. You'll fit right in.
You'll fit right in.
It's
a lot. And then she gets hit by a train. And he just killed his wife. Now he needs a drink. So he heads to Bad Guy HQ, which is now full of goons.
Sorry, I can't. Which one?
Where? What he says about Quentin?
I didn't see Quentin here.
He's wrapped up.
Oh,
where? Your mother's gone.
She took the train. Yeah.
Oh, these lines were priceless.
Like
with the sun.
Yeah, we were talking about it. Allie was just like, that's some straight up.
I said it's bad James Bond
that's
writing.
That's some Roger Moore.
That's some
James Bond.
I was going to say
bullshit.
Late Pierce Brosnan.
Oh.
Christmas came twice this
it's
year.
It's a John Travolta like, idea for sure.
Do the carpets match the grapes?
John Travolta
that's
said.
Sean Connery.
Oh, he goes, I'd like to try something on this take. Winks at the director.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's like that.
Director says cut, and he goes,
Mom's gone.
What do you think?
She took the train.
Where's mom?
Your mom's gone.
She took the train.
Get it?
Yeah.
So he needs a drink now. So he heads back to the thing. Frank gears up for his final assault. So many guns.
He spray paints the skull on his bulletproof vest.
Chief of all of his guns, the Colt M4A1 carbine.
And a bow and arrow.
It has an underbarrel grenade launcher. I wish I had one of these. He starts off like Rambo. He kills with arrows, plants bombs on cars, and building exits. The first champagne bomb easily kills a dozen goons from the start.
I love how the guy's like, we're champagne ASAP.
Coming right up.
He sends up, one bottle.
He cleans up the leftovers with his rifle. Oh, yeah. He's a disheveled Howard makes an escape. Frank finally kills the goon he maimed in the beginning of the movie by pinning his left hand to his own thigh with a knife and then placing a second knife underneath his chin and into his brain. Very badass. One of the goons tries to flee, sets off an explosion that murders a Ford GT40 and a Shelby Cobra.
$5 million
worth of cars.
I didn't see the Shelby Cobra.
Dude, those weren't cars. Those were shells of cars.
Yeah, this is not a James Bond movie.
It's Hollywood. I'm just saying.
This isn't a James Bond movie.
You saw that those things were hollow. And it was just the frame.
Lots of fire. So upstairs, Frank finds John Saint. Pinned under some furniture. So he didn't kill. That's right. He puts an 8-pound explosive in his hand. If he drops it, it explodes.
You ever try some metrics?
Outside.
I did like the scene. It was good.
That was pretty baller.
Because I would drop that right away. It's badass. I'm so weak.
Personally, I would have thrown it as far as I could throw it. Outside, Frank catches up with Howard. As Howard says, you killed my son, we hear John drop the explosive and die screaming. Got them both now. They draw their pistols, but the fucking Punisher is faster. He shows him photos and an earring to make him realize that
just
Howard
that
killed
clip.
His wife.
Get that clip, I bet.
He killed his best friend for nothing. Frank ties one of Howard's legs to the back of a Lincoln Town car, puts a bomb on it, and then puts it in drive. The car saunters into the parking lot straight ahead. Full of cars, each with their own bomb. They explode as Howard is drugged past them. Each burst excoriating every inch of his pre-cooked and tenderized flesh. Revenge at hand.
That's
total body count
much.
Is 45.
I will say this. Of the movies we've done this month, this is fucking revenge.
That's fucking revenge.
This is fucking revenge.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is he going to bring his wife and kid back?
No, but nope. The fact that he gets to say... Hey, guess what? I made you kill your best friend and your wife.
I made you
have
do
fun.
It. So some loose threads. Frank returns home. He tells them to check the cupboard in his apartment later.
They do, and
they find a life-changing amount of money.
You can make new memories, meaning my vagina.
But wait, let me put my
happy
hand
ending.
Your face.
Belly button.
That's the end. I have some notes. Pro wrestler Kevin Nash had to cut his hair for this role, as you saw. And to explain the haircut to his wrestling fans, he bet his hair in a match against Chris Jericho.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's a cool fact.
How tall is that guy?
He's 7 foot tall.
He's so tall.
Do you think he gets lint in his belly button?
Yes.
100%,
dude. I
don't
even think he can reach his belly button. He's so tall.
I bet you can. I can put my fist in his belly button.
At a certain point, he just uses a wooden spoon to dish it out.
Ew.
Can you ask AI generated how big his belly button is?
No.
How many oranges can Kevin Nash fit in his belly button?
Are you friends with him on Instagram?
No, I'm just
Can you ask him how many oranges he can fit in there?
He's 6'10".
Okay, that was close.
Well, that's three.
He's still
he is 65
huge.
Years old.
Maybe switch it to grapes. Be like, hey, dude, how many grapes can you fit in there?
So
blueberries, even.
The Castle Family House in Puerto Rico is actually restrooms and changing rooms located in Honeymoon Island State Park. State parks adhere to strict rules about color of their buildings. The restrooms and changing rooms were repainted from their original gray to the colors seen in this movie, and they remain that color to this day. Last bit of tasty info. Despite never actually interacting, Thomas Jane and John Travolta both starred in Face Off. Jane played one of the inmates at the federal prison in which Sean Archer as Caster Troy infiltrates.
Wow.
Well, no, technically then John...
Changed my opinion about this movie altogether.
Technically, John Travolta did meet up with
because he was Nicolas Cage.
Because John Travolta was playing Nicolas Cage at that point.
Right.
Well, amazing.
So, see how y'all like it. Tammy, pass, fail?
I'm going to pass it.
Yes!
I liked the ending, and that's what saved it.
The happy ending? Or the good, nice revenge?
The revenge piece. Okay. I liked the way that Howard died.
In fire.
I'm not a fan of like the whole quote unquote
family
storyline of the Punisher. I understand how much you are afraid of such an incident happening to you.
It is my greatest fear.
It is Guido's greatest fear that someone comes and takes his entire family away.
Oh.
And so.
Well, you don't know any gay Scientologists, though.
It's the only thing keeping me from being a supervillain.
He has said it so many times that, like, if somebody did that, he would turn into the Punisher.
Well, I feel like there are a few people that wouldn't take. I mean, revenge is a.
Dude,
is a,
and like,
best circle.
Dude, if you do, just know that I will make you some nice ice Florentine.
Yes.
How was that the dessert?
I don't know what that is. Can you describe what ice Florentine is?
They've made it on British Bake Off one time, and I don't even know what it was.
All right. Allie, pass, fail.
Oh, okay. So a
Florentine. It's got cereal in it, right?
So a Florentine is like a really, really, really thin, like, cookie almost. So an ice Florentine is like a thin cookie sandwich, basically.
Wow. Sign me up.
No, but the cookies are like. Like that.
Oh, it's a wafer.
It's like a wafer. Oh, man. You know, I was gonna fail this movie, but I feel like I'm doing the Love Potion number 9 thing right now. And actually talking about it made me like it a little bit more because I really hated it when I watched it.
Oh, she did. Oh, my God.
Because the writing is so fucking bad. And the lines, I feel like every line is a cliche or just like,
oh, yeah.
Like the wife when.
It's like one of the first Marvel movies.
We're not lucky. We're blessed.
Really driving home. So
I said, what does that even mean?
Are we in a Hallmark movie right now? Like, bad. And then, like, the whole, like, she took the train. Like, God. Like, bad. But I had fun talking about it.
Yeah.
I actually think John Travolta is really good in it. He doesn't go over the top, which is really weird for him. And I love a creative kill. And that end creative kill, even though the Punisher fire thing with the cars was a little crazy. So you know what? I am going to pass it because I actually enjoy talking about it.
Awesome. Matt, what do you think?
Warts and all, I'm now going to look back on this movie like I look at, like, 17-year-old me looked at cheesy 80s movies. I mean, thank God the family died. Because that was the worst part of the movie.
Thank God.
Well, it set up the movie, Jesus. Okay. But, you know, and the wife sucked. The kids sucked. But, no, I will still pass this movie. I'll make fun of it, but, like, I'll give
As is your right.
I'll give it the Mystery Science Theater treatment, but, yeah, I still like it.
Awesome.
That is 100% pass.
That is awesome.
He would have liked it a lot better if the Punisher had no family.
Family.
Well, he had no family for most of the movie.
But then he wouldn't have had a reason for revenge.
I would have liked it.
They killed his mom. They killed his mom.
That's true. I will say this, Guido. He even says in the end, it's not revenge, it's punishment.
Disqualified.
Disqualified.
No, but hold on. But I would argue that on the bridge is when he became the Punisher.
Well, to be honest.
And he had a revenge arc before that.
This is actually a double revenge movie because John Travolta is getting revenge. And then we get a double back revenge.
I would have liked this movie a lot better had Tammy actually admitted that she does get lint in her belly button.
I know she does. I've seen it.
Fucking liar.
You wear sweaters sometimes, and I know you get that fucking lint in there.
All right.
You know what? I haven't looked at my belly button lint checked for lint in months. So you can look at my belly button when we get home.
I want you to lift that shirt right now and let me see that tum-tum. What's
there's no lint.
What's in there?
There's no way.
Oh, my
lint
God.
Allie, you got a better look.
Here. You have a scar from a belly button piercing, don't you?
Yes.
Wow.
There's no way. Look, it's all like weird now.
Dig in there.
Hold on a second. I think I got some lint in my pocket.
I'm not digging my finger into your belly
there's
button.
There's no way.
Can I put lint in it?
You gotta
it won't stay. It doesn't. Having children, like, there's no crevice anymore.
Hold on, I got some pocket lint. Here you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Can you put some of this in there?
Ew, gross.
Look, there's barely any kind of anything anymore.
All right, scorekeeper Tammy, we are now going to rank all.
So fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. All of you.
Well, no, wait.
About my belly button.
Fuck you, you belly button lint having bitch.
Like, you're cool.
And you're cool, Shokiko.
I'm out.
All right, we are going to rank all four revenge movies. So I did Urban Legend.
I saw the devil.
I know what you did last summer.
Punisher.
Okay, would anyone like to go first? I'll go first. I'm going to go.
I know, right?
Worst fucking month. I'm real sorry, Guido. I'm going to go Punisher worst.
What?
I'm sorry.
That's fine. I got a pass at the beginning.
I'm going to go I Know What You Did Last Summer, Urban Legend, I Saw the Devil. Guido.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I'm not tatting your tit. Or tit, you're tatting.
It's fine.
But I worst to best is going to be...
Oh my God.
Urban Legends. And then I Know What You Did Last Winter. And then...
Winter.
Right.
Well, they were wearing sweaters.
They were wearing sweaters. And then Punisher. And then I saw the... For its mindful, mindless
Tammy?
Violence.
Oh, shit. I wrote it in the wrong boxes.
She doesn't even know what box to put it in. It's ridiculous.
Shut up.
That's what she said.
Her boxes are full of lint right now.
Okay. Tammy, what are your
hide them in other places.
ew.
That's God. A lint trap if I ever saw one.
That movie with
you gotta scrape the screen, man.
No,
that Guido, does that mean I get to call you a lint licker from now on?
A lint licker.
Yeah.
Lint licker.
Well, you're a cootie queen.
Whatever, you dirty lint licker.
No, it's that movie with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock.
The Heat?
Where she runs to that guy on the street. She's like, you should be with this girl. She hasn't had someone in months. It's like fucking broken dolls and cobwebs up in there. It's like a fucking grandma's attic.
I'm going to do... I know, this month was
fucked.
I like, as much as I fucking hate picking this movie as number one, because it means that someone is going to win again. I Saw the Devil. And you're going to gloat.
No, he's not. He's
look
fine.
At look at the gloating face right now.
It's fine.
I hate this
face. So what's number two?
Face.
He's going to be like...
His look is doing the
now
face.
Now he's going to do a humble look face
he's
because
face.
He's like, I did win. We know you so well.
What's number two?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay.
And then The Punisher. And then Urban Legend.
God damn it.
That's because you didn't get it.
Matt, do you want to put yours last just to throw everyone off?
Sure.
No, I'll still
don't
win.
Do that.
Yeah, do
no,
it.
No,
yeah.
Are you going best to worst or worst to best?
No, I'm
going
to go random.
No, you're not.
Oh, boy. Way to confuse me.
All right. Number four is, sorry, fuck Jared Leto, Urban Legend. Number three is I Know What You Did Last Summer. Number two is I Saw the Devil. And number one
what?
Is The Punisher.
What? Really?
Get
he just doesn't
want to
vote for himself.
No.
It's a classy thing
no,
to do.
No, I'm going to do what you always say, and I'd much rather watch The Punisher if it's on more than I Saw the Devil.
But I wouldn't say that about The Punisher.
I like The Punisher.
If I was going to do that, I would.
It's hard to beat during
and
I Saw the Devil.
And who won Revenge Month?
Revenge was sweet in Korea.
I Saw the Devil.
I love
nice.
A good
Matt.
I
congrats.
Love a, I
to
love
be
a
fair,
good sweet Korean sauce.
You're, to be fair.
It was fucking badass.
It was great. It's so good. And to be fair, when I posted like a lot of our stuff about like this movie, we got a lot of comments like, dude, like this is fucking
savage.
Savage.
I'm
clip I put in the episode, it was like that it is one of the best revenge movies that has ever been made. Like, so it does actually fit mm-hmm. the month the best.
Mm-hmm. I'm just glad that you all enjoyed it very much.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like mine was a junk food movie.
Oh, mine
no,
was
we,
awful.
Like for quality.
It was a bowl of popcorn.
For
I
quality.
Love a bowl of popcorn.
Your movie was top notch.
Yes, absolutely. So normally he would quid pro quo me, but we are going to leave you guys in anticipation of what the theme month for November is, because next week is Halloween.
Yes.
And
this
we will
is
be
Halloween.
Releasing.
This is Halloween, 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 pumpkin. Yeah.
So spooky.
We will be releasing a mini episode.
Never before have we done this.
We do a lot of fun little this or that questions. And at the end of that episode, we will tell everyone what the theme for November is. So until then, we are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can
And Letterboxd.
You can recommend a theme month by sending us an email or messaging us on social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until our special mini episode on Halloween, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.